Hi, everyone. Welcome to the One Love Podcast, a show about people turning their compassion into action. I'm your host, Kim Bauman, and the founder of One Love Movement, a nonprofit dedicated to advancing social justice for kids. Thank you so much for joining us today.
What a year 2020 has been. Between COVID-19, the killings of George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, and way too many Black people to name, plus the reignition of the Black Lives Matter movement, the wildfires, hurricanes, the untimely death of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, there is so much on the line. And we have an election just around the corner, which in my opinion, there could not be a better timed year for an election. This is a huge opportunity for all of us to speak up and vote for what we want changed. Here with me today is Raven Hartsfield from When We All Vote, a nonprofit founded by Michelle Obama, dedicated to empowering people to show up and be heard, increasing voter participation in every election. And I'd also like to add in that One Love Movement is an official partner of When We All Vote, which I'm super, super proud of. Hello, Raven. Welcome.
Hi, Kim. Thank you so much for having me today. And thank you so much to One Love, this wonderful organization, for being such a great partner of When We All Vote.
Oh, thank you. Oh my gosh. It's seriously has made my year. It's made me feel so purposeful. And I wanted to start out by asking, how did you get involved with this amazing organization, When We All Vote?
So that's a really, really good question. And it actually leads back to the circumstances of this year. I actually am a young business person by trade. I just recently graduated from business school at Northwestern Kellogg and had a job lined up. But unfortunately, due to COVID, my job was postponed and it will not start until early next year. So thinking about the time on our hands, or on my hands, 6 to 7 months, and thinking about just what this year means, and how it really is going to be one of the biggest elections of our lifetimes. So I just knew that I wanted to really get involved some way this year. And so through the power of connections, you know, I was looking at different ways to get involved on the ground, in terms of mobilizing people, voter registration, things like that. And I actually got connected with When We All Vote through a friend, and the process worked pretty quickly. So I'm here. I'm an associate director on the When We All Vote partnerships team. And I work closely with people like you, Kim, in the community, and with some of our corporate partners, really getting them prepared and their employees, their communities prepared to register to vote and at this point to get out to vote and to vote early.
Oh my gosh, I love the timing of you not getting that other job. How wonderful is that you didn't get the job yet?
it's still there, but it's just delayed, and it's actually been a blessing in disguise, and it's allowed me to do some work that I never would have had the opportunity to do otherwise.
Wow. Okay, that I just got goosebumps, Raven, because to me that illustrates just all the magical moments that come out of nowhere in life.
That is so true. And, you know, unfortunately, during this time that we have, it's impacted us all around the country. But, you know, at least personally, I'm keeping my head up and making the best of it and ensuring that I'm staying healthy and my family and friends are staying healthy and getting people out and ready to vote.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm glad you brought that up because I feel that so much of what's going on this year is a lot of it is requiring so much more self-care than we're used to. And I know for myself and so many of my friends that we've just, you know, not only had our eyes opened to the, for example, the situation with Breonna Taylor, but had just been completely, for me, just enraged by everything. And so I wanted to ask you, how has Breonna's story opened your eyes, and how does voting count towards criminal justice issues like that of Breonna Taylor's? Like, can you help us understand how that connects?
Yeah, sure. And so I'll just start with like how it's played out for me. So as a Black woman, I am tremendously affected, and it really does place a mental burden on me, and I'm sure others as well. It's so unfortunate that we've had so many of these incidents and shootings, and to see them play out repeatedly on news, on social media, sometimes without warning, it does take an impact and a toll on your mental health. I will say the flip side of that is, you know, if not for some of these channels, if not for cameras on our phones, a lot of these incidents will still, you know, we wouldn't know about them. So I guess that is the power and the curse of technology. In terms of Breonna Taylor, I'm really putting it with a voting first mindset. It's really awakened my knowledge of the criminal justice system. You know, prior to this, I'm kind of not ashamed to say that I didn't know what no-knock warrants were. I actually didn't know, even working in this voting space, I didn't even know the name of my own state's attorney general. And so, you know, I've personally had to do the research on, you know, why things unfortunately have played out like they have, but it's also kind of empowered me to think about my elected officials and to get to know them when they're on the ballot. And, you know, I encourage my friends and those that I work with on a daily basis to challenge themselves to do the same. So understanding that attorney generals are elected or they are appointed as a part of the cabinet. There are district attorneys and U.S. attorneys who prosecute cases. There are judges who make critical decisions, and all of these positions, these elected and appointed officials, they're on our ballot in some type of way. So, you know, we really do have the power to make change in the justice system.
You know, I think that's so important too, to understand. And, you know, I admit myself that this is the first year that I've really, really fully paid attention to this degree. And, you know, I didn't know that until working with When We All Vote, I didn't realize that we could impact decisions like, you know, Breonna Taylor's case by who we vote for. So that was just hugely eye-opening for me as well. And then go ahead.
That's exactly right. And, you know, I, there's so much that we can do. And, just one of those things though is voting, and not only voting in the presidential year, but voting in off years, voting in primaries, you know, choosing those candidates who will make these important decisions for us, having that voice early on. So it really is important.
And I have to say too, Raven, that I know you're a lot younger than me. I don't know your age, but I'm really impressed with how involved and how knowledgeable you are with the election and how things stream together.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
I'm 29. I just turned 29 last month. Sometimes I forget my age. I've gotten to the age.
Amazing. Oh my gosh. And when I was 29, I call those my bumble years. I was bumbling through life and just like bouncing off of windows and walls and no direction and no idea what I was doing. So, that's really amazing that you're doing this.
Trust me. Sometimes I feel that way too.
Well, you don't seem like it. Now my next question is kind of tied into what you were just saying about the criminal justice system, is with the Supreme Court. And, I learned something for the first time this past weekend that every state has their own mini Supreme Courts. And I cannot believe I didn't know that. But it makes sense now that like when my friends and I were talking about it, but I thought there was just one large big Supreme Court. And so, why do the courts matter? And what does voting have to do with the Supreme Court? So how can we make a change there from voting?
Yeah, that's super important, and then we started talking about that with the last question. So just thinking about the court systems that we have here within the U.S., we do have our federal courts and we have our state courts, and they are a part of our system of checks and balances on the government and federal issues and state issues. So at the federal level, we have the district court, the appellate courts, and of course the Supreme Courts. And then at the state level, we also have different levels of courts, and then the high court level within the states as well. So the federal courts are usually deciding on the federal issues, state courts with state issues. And so in every election, the courts are on the ballot. The courts make really, really important decisions in terms of constitutional issues, federal appropriations, healthcare, environment, discrimination. Recently there's been a lot of news in the courts around the census and around voting rights. So courts are definitely deciding issues that matter, and these courts are always, always on the ballot in different ways. So at the federal level, the courts are federally appointed, and so that means that the president and his staff are vetting and appointing these candidates, and then the Senate is confirming them. So when you're voting for president, when you're voting for your senators at the federal level, you're also voting for the future makeup of the court system. And so you're not just only voting for the decisions that your senator is making right then and right there on a piece of legislation, you're also voting on their judicial decisions. And these judges currently have lifetime appointments. So these decisions, they matter and they can live with us for a long time. At the state level, really depending on the state, the courts are appointed or they are elected. So you'll notice on your ballot that there will be certain states and areas, there may be judicial positions that people like me and you that we can elect and that we can choose, or in certain cases the governor is making some of those decisions. So it's really important that we're doing our research on not only those judicial decisions that we see on the ballot, but also on our senators, on our president, and on the governors who are making those all important decisions.
Oh my goodness, for sure. Especially, that's just, that's crazy to think about, that once you're appointed to the Supreme Court, that you're there for life. And so pretty much everyone, so it's probably safe for us to say, Raven, that everyone that's currently on the court and to be appointed to the court is going to be determining things for the rest of our lives at our age, correct?
The thing about that, Kim, is that, they're making decisions and, those decisions, they're creating precedents as well. So you know, a lot of the lower courts will look towards the Supreme Court and the top courts for how they should rule on certain decisions.
It's
really important that we keep that in mind and that these decisions can live with us for a long time. So there are implications when, you know, there's someone that's relatively young who is appointed to the court, or to any courts, because their decisions can live long past them and long past me and you.
Oh my gosh, that is so interesting and so good to know. Man, you know, and you mentioned that in terms of voting, there are two of the most important communities right now to reach are people of color and young people. And I know for me and, you know, with One Love Movement and our partnership with you, that's been at the top of my mind from the very beginning, is how can we reach people of color and young people here in San Diego? And, you know, I don't think we're probably doing the best job at that, but I wanted to ask you, how can people listening mobilize those two communities to get on board with voting? Or to know about the election, to know even what's possible.
Mm-hmm. So Kim, as you know, and as you alluded to at the start of the conversation, One Love Vote's mission is to get voters everywhere, no matter where they live, no matter what they look like, to register to vote and out to vote. We have a very special focus on people of color and young people, mostly defined as, you know, those under 35 that are eligible to vote. And just to give you some statistics and thinking about the last presidential election. So in the last presidential cycle, there were nearly 100 million eligible voters who did not vote in 2016. In 2018, we saw the largest turnout of people in decades for a midterm election, but unfortunately, nearly two-thirds of young people still did not cast their ballots.
Wow.
In terms of the Latino or Latinx community, they are now the largest minority voting bloc within the country, with this year 32 million of our Latinx Americans will be eligible to vote in 2020. And you know, we've also got some statistics on hand that say if you vote for the first time at 18, you're more likely to be and to become a lifelong voter. So it's really important, because young people and people of color have so much power on their hands, and they can really craft the government that they want to see. But it's really important to have those voting conversations. There are so many people who are not approached about voting. And so, you know, just thinking about us as individuals, word can travel, so you can ask someone to talk to them about, you know, what it means about the importance of voting, and then challenge them to also talk to three or four other people. And the exponential power of that is so key for our to actually register people to vote, and for young people and for people of color. So I would say that, you know, you do whatever. We talked a little bit about superpowers. And, you know, we all have our own superpowers. And so leveraging our superpowers and leveraging our networks and people that we know and the skills that we have to reach out to people of all backgrounds, so, you know, that they hear that message that they are eligible and that their vote matters and it has an impact.
You know, I love that. So what I'm hearing is that the biggest thing we can do is to talk, is to ask people if they're registered to vote, is to start conversations and to keep it alive.
That's completely true. And so when you see, and as One Love does so well, when you see voter registration information or you see something in the news about an issue that matters to you, you know, circulate. Don't just sit on that information. Circulate that information to people in your network. Challenge them to reach out to others. And you know, that's really how we start to make an impact with people of all backgrounds.
You know, I love that you said that, because something that has been really prominent for me this year, especially with the Black Lives Matter movement, is that is how silence is, like, how much silence hurts people. And so when we don't speak up, when we sit on things, like you just said, that's actually how we are hurting other people. And so I love that. It's like, it's just all about using our voices, right?
Right. Using our voices, using our superpower, having empathy and compassion, and, you know, sometimes even getting outside of our comfortable bubbles.
Yes. And because it's uncomfortable to talk about, if someone's registered or what they're voting for. It's uncomfortable to talk about things. I mean, I was just on a big text message chain with some girlfriends this morning about Proposition 22, which is the one about Lyft and Uber drivers, if people should become employees or not. And we had the biggest debacle back and forth, and we all had really good points, but we all were disagreeing on it. So it's just, even that was interesting and just so enlivening to be openly talking about what we think about something.
And it's so interesting you said that, Kim, because a lot of times we get in certain bubbles where everybody thinks like we do.
Yes.
And we kind of don't hear differing opinions. And so it's so great to hear that, you know, you surrounded yourself with a diverse group of friends that have diverse viewpoints. And, you know, no matter what your viewpoints are, no matter what your background is, no matter what you look like, you know, your vote matters at the federal level, at the state level, at the local level, on different issues and measures such as Prop 22.
So let's talk about that. Let's talk about how our vote matters. Okay, because one of the biggest things that I'm worried about, especially because of the statistics from the last election where, okay, I might be botching this, but maybe you can correct me. But weren't we off by 100,000 votes? Was it that determined the election?
Nearly 100,000 voters between Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin were considered decisive for the election, the presidential election in 2016 at the federal level.
Wow. And that is mind-blowing to think that only 100,000 people that didn't show up. And then you just said earlier that two-thirds of the younger people were not voting or something like that. Is that correct?
That was in the midterm election.
Okay.
So in midterm election, there was a large turnout for young people, but that large turnout, unfortunately, in the grand scheme of things, is not that large, because two-thirds of how we define young people still did not cast their ballots in 2018.
Okay. So, yeah, so that's something that I'm worried about, is people not voting because they don't think their vote counts. And then the second thing that I'd love to talk about is all of the misinformation about voting that's actually voter suppression, like that's causing voter suppression. So all the misinformation that's floating around, is this true, is this not true? That's all a tactic of voter suppression. There we go. So how are you guys managing this misinformation? And what are some of the most important points you're wanting people to know right now about voting?
Yeah, so that's a really good question, Kim. So what we really do is we empower our partners, our volunteers, our co-chairs, and our ambassadors to really talk about the importance of voting. And no matter, as we mentioned, your age, and you know, as long as you're eligible age, your background, what you look like, that your vote matters, and it's important to cast your ballot. So I would say that we really fight against misinformation, and you know, getting people to understand that their vote matters at the federal level, but also, more importantly, their vote really matters at the state level, at the local level. So, you know, when you cast your ballot, you're not only casting your ballot for president, and it's not only you shouldn't only vote every 4 years, but to vote in your local elections too, in your state elections. And those issues that are decided in those elections, they are, you know, anywhere from taxation to, you know, how your trash is going to be picked up from your home. So just thinking about your vote, ensuring and communicating that it matters. It matters at the federal level, the state level, and the local level, you know, and even to the judicial judges that are on the ballot as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we've just to be clear, voting by mail is safe. It's not fraudulent. Voting in person early is safe. It's not fraudulent. Voting, if you choose to do that on election day, is not fraudulent. So, you know, what people like me and you and those that are listening to the podcast, it's really important that you're talking to people in your life, and you're thinking about the information that you're consuming to, you know, really to come to an understanding of if that information is true, and having that critical eye, and also spreading that, you know, we've got to fight back against suppression by showing up, by, you know, not believing that our votes don't matter, and, you know, really communicating out those options to vote. To vote, and that's what we do within When We All Vote. We are, you know, letting our community and our partners know the safe ways to vote. We're fighting against misinformation. We are, you know, really empowering the country and voters to get out to vote, whatever method that is available and that is best for them.
Mm. Well, I mean, the work that you guys are doing is absolutely remarkable, and the amount of resourceful information that you provide is just been so huge for me, just in my own education, my own understanding of everything. And, you know, one thing I want to say also, Raven, because I feel when it comes to voting and just all the, you know, everything we've been talking about so far today on this interview, is that so many people get stopped by not understanding enough. And because of that, they don't show up. And it's like, I think that like, sometimes we think that we have to really know and get it in order to vote. And you know, and we don't, because if everyone was an expert before they actually cast their ballot, then nobody would be voting. And so do you have anything to say around, you know, just how complex getting, you know, looking at your ballot can be in general?
It can be incredibly complex. But there are different tools that can really help you out and to break things down for you. So one thing that we have within When We All Vote is that we have a voter resources hub. And so within that hub, you can put in your address, and it tells you what your early voting options may be, if that's available in your area. It tells you what where your polling site is if you choose to vote on election day. But you can also see us a sample ballot of positions that are available or positions that you would be voting for on your ballot. And so from there, you know, you can see the names, you can see pictures, you can see party affiliations, and then you can do that simple research of, you know, just typing into Google and saying, who is this person? What do they believe? Do their values align with mine? Another tool that I also used last week was Ballotpedia. I actually went to go vote in North Carolina for early voting on Saturday. So on Thursday and Friday, I was doing some research myself on the some of the local and state positions that were on my ballot. So I used Wimmeow Votes Voter Resources Hub, but I also used Ballotpedia.
Oh, I never heard of that one.
And it's an incredibly great resource for, you know, just finding out who exactly that name is on their on your ballot and doing the further research for, you know, what do they believe? How have they voted in the past? If they are an incumbent and, you know, if they're and the values that they have and the positions that they hold. And so I can align that research that I've done on with how I want to cast my ballot. So it's not difficult. It's not complex. It can take 5 minutes. It's incredibly important to know who you're voting for and how they may vote in the future on different pieces of legislation.
Yeah. And you know, I know too, like I've been doing a mail-in ballot my entire life. I've only voted, I think once or twice in person. It was when I was, 18. And, I decided like after I went, I remember distinctly when I went in person, it was horrifying because I didn't realize there were going to be all these questions about stuff I didn't know about. And I was there for ever because I didn't know what to do. And so ever since then, I started doing a mail-in ballot because then at least I can take my time and I can look things up and I can read things and I'm not pressured when I actually get to the poll place. So I did want to say that too, that I've been doing a mail-in ballot for almost my entire life.
That's so good, Kim. And, you know, that's something that I didn't think about. You know, if you've got your mail-in ballot, you've got the names right there in front of you, so you can do that quick Google search, or, you know, do that quick research just to find out who you're voting for. And I just want to do a quick plug here that it's October 20th. So if you have not mailed in your ballot, if you have a mail ballot, please do that today. Just to make sure that you're aligning with your state's deadlines for getting your ballot in. And if possible, then, you know, different states have different options for ballot delivery. There may be drop boxes in your areas. You may be able to take your ballot to an early voting site. You may be able to drop off your ballot at a local office. Just do the research and make sure that ballot gets in on time.
Oh, I love that. I know you don't want to miss your deadline. Every state is different. Raven, you mentioned a little bit ago superpowers. I know that my superpower is that I'm compassionate. What is your superpower?
I think that my superpower is that I see the good in people and their humanity. And so no matter where they're from, no matter their background, no matter their religion, what they look like, I think there's some good in everyone. And I think that you know, people want to take care of themselves and they want to take care of their families. And, you know, and that's really important. It's powerful. And, you know, I'm also super, super empathetic. So
yeah,
thinking about people and their situations and why they may believe a certain thing, or, you know, how they may be different from myself. And so just having a great understanding of people and why they may hold certain values and how they may think and, you know, how even that may translate into their votes.
Yeah. You know, I love, I think, knowing what your superpower is really important, because too often we always say, oh my gosh, I'm so dumb, or I'm so stupid, or we're always criticizing ourselves. And so when you can identify one thing that you're really good at, it's a really great space to start in terms of, you know, having those empowering conversations and, you know, not sitting on things and speaking out. A couple other fun questions before we go, since we've had such a more of a serious conversation, I wanted to ask you. So abracadabra, Raven, if you could wave your magic wand, what would you want to fix first?
I think the obvious answer is the pandemic. You know, unfortunately, there have been, at this point, I believe there have been over, in our country, over 7 or 8 million diagnoses. There are over 200,000 people who have unfortunately passed away. And every single person who has been diagnosed, every single person who has who has unfortunately passed away, they're a person, their lives matter, and they have families that are, you know, helping to take care of them, or they have families that are grieving. And so if I could roll, you know, wave my magic wand, then this crisis would be over tomorrow.
Oh man, I want to give you that magic wand. I'm with you on that, Raven.
we're getting there. I'm hopeful. I'm
an optimist.
I'm hopeful.
Yeah, I am too. And because we are home more than often, I don't know about you, but I've been really into my TV shows. And I wanted to ask you, is there anything that you've been watching lately that you've binged that you love?
Yes, I have actually probably watched too much TV this year. more TV than I've ever watched in my adult life.
Oh, it's so fun though, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I've actually gotten to a point where I need to limit myself. So, Lovecraft Country, just finished that. The season finale was this past Sunday, and love that series.
What's the title again?
Lovecraft Country.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Lovecraft Country. And what app is that on?
That is on HBO.
Okay, cool.
Mm-hmm. I recently watched P-Valley on Stars, which I thoroughly loved and was entertained by. And then I've actually gone back and watched a couple of older shows on HBO. So I just recently entered season 6 of The Sopranos, and
ooh,
I finished The Wire, so I know I'm about 15 years or so behind, but I'm catching up.
But those are classics. Those are classics,
they're
though.
Classics, and I think The Wire is probably one of the best shows that I've ever seen.
Okay, you know what? I've heard that from too many people, so I just need I need to watch that one.
You got to.
The Wire,
It starts a little slow, but it picks up, and I think it's just amazing.
Awesome. Well, I have one for you if you want something that's pretty mindless but entertaining.
Let's hear it.
Emily in Paris is a new show out on Netflix. It's made by the makers of Sex and the City. It's outstanding.
I've heard about it. I've heard a couple of friends. They were like, they just needed something like not as serious to watch.
Right.
And so they watched it like in the last week.
Yeah, it's so good. It's so good.
I need to put it on my list.
Well, Raven, this has been so much fun. Is there anything, I want to make sure, is there anything you've got on your mind that you want to say? Are you good here?
You know what? I think we pretty much covered it, but I just love to end with, like, go vote. Make a plan to vote, whether it is voting early or voting on election day. Map out your plan, take 3 or 4 friends with you, and vote. Post on social media that you voted, spread the word, and you know, make the most of what you can in these next 2 weeks prior to November 3rd.
I love it. All right, Raven, thank you so, so much. I know we're going to talk pretty soon here over email, I'm sure. And thank you for being on our podcast. It's really amazing to get to hear all of your knowledge and your heart and your soul. So thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for tuning in to the One Love Podcast. If you'd like to support this show, please subscribe, rate, and review so that other people can find us. To learn more about our nonprofit, visit our website, onelovemovement.org. One is spelled out O-N-E. Or follow us on Instagram and Facebook. Our handle is onelovemovement.org. Again, one is spelled out.